The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. I was expecting something this morning. There's a strong move of the spirit amongst us, but I will have to interrupt it so I can teach. Then I'll give room for what God wants to do in this place. We're not just going to do theoretical stuff this morning. I will explain to you how to recognize divine leading, and you are going to see the path that we must follow. You must see if there are areas of your life where you've been confused, areas of your life where you need direction. Those things will be ironed out, they'll be straightened out for you this morning. Are you getting the point? Just let your heart open. They'll be straightened out this morning. Enough of living like we are not believers. Many of us live our life by chance. We are guessing what we must do. At this point, we feel, look, I think what I should do is this. Many of us live our lives like the world. Last week I was talking about natural perception. Many of us still follow the only thing that leads us our natural perception. I just think I should do this. I just think I should do that. I listened to Reverend Hagin, and he said something. He says, since I learned how to be led by the Spirit, I have never lost any business deal. I get the point. There are things that should not be happening to you. All these things I was scammed. 419ers did this. You must know the path that you must follow. I get that point. At every point in your life, you will know how to recognize the leading of the Spirit. Because that's why there's a leading in your heart. And so we're going to pray. I'm going to teach you this one. We're going to pray. The confusions your heart will declare, you will know the path that you must follow. And some of you are at the crossroad of life. You know, that's what I was saying last week. And some of you are at some points where there are about 4 or 5 roads, 4 or 5 options before you. And you don't know where to follow. Direction will be given to you this morning. Are you getting me? You will see where you must step into. I was at that point at the time in my life, especially when I was, you know, some of you in final year, or some of you that are just finishing service. At different points in your life, you just find out that you just want to know what am I going to do. And a lot of these are calling you at the same time. You get the point? Sometimes it is 5 different job opportunities calling you. You want to know which one am I going to take. Such confusion should not exist for the believer. And for you know, we begin to walk like the world because we're not taught. We begin to say things like, okay, which one pays more? Which one does this more? And most times when you follow that perception, that natural perception, you can get into error. I think I'm talking what I'm saying. You just follow it. Which one do I think is right? But listen to me. We saw last week that God wants to lead us. You remember that? God wants to lead us. In fact, the way was the scripture also last week said that man on his own cannot choose the course of his life. And that's why the believer should not live his life by trial and error. Say, I'm going to try this. If it doesn't work, I'm going to try this. And I'll try like 5 different things. And anyone that works, I will not follow it. No, that's not how we live. I told you last week, right there where you're seated, there is a leading of the Spirit in your heart. You remember that? So me say, I have. Come on, let me say, I have the leading of the Spirit. Say me, I know what to do at every point in time. You must know that right there in your heart. I told you last week to say, oh God, please lead me, is not the perfect prayer for a believer to pray. Because actually, there is a leading of the Spirit in your heart already. Are you getting me? When you say, God, lead me well, you will not be totally wrong. Let's just say you're submitting to God or something. But then, to say, Lord, you know, people say, God, please lead me, show me. Most times, it is the wrong prayer to pray. Right there in your heart, the Bible tells us we are one with the Holy Ghost. We are one with God. And so His leading is there in your heart. And so what this teaching is meant to do for you is not actually how to get God to lead you. Because people normally say, how will you get God to lead you? Number one, you have to watch your life. Number two, you have to do this and do that. No. What this teaching is meant to do for you is actually to show you how to discover or recognize the leading of the Spirit. You get the point? How to recognize. I gave an example last week. Okay? If there are 50 women inside this hall, and all of them are talking to you at the same time. And they tell you that one of them talking is your mom. You get the point? Now, you don't need to learn how to hear your mom. You only need to know her voice. You get the point? You only need to recognize that, okay, this one is her voice. And that happens by virtue of experience. Once you've stayed with her for some time, you'll be able to know. So right there in our heart, we have the leading of the Spirit. And what we saw last week, what the leading of the Spirit is not. You remember? We saw it is not superstition. A lot of things we saw. It's not superstition. Many believers have degenerated to be led by superstitions. And they say once your eye begins to twitch, it means that this is happening. That's superstition. Believers are not led that way. I get the point. They say once you begin to feel this and feel that, then that means this. No. And I showed you also, it's not natural perception. It's not guilt. It's not fear. Many people have been led by guilt. Many people have been led by fear. He said, I wanted to do this, but I became scared. Then I became scared. I said, let me not do it again. No. You cannot trust those things. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to close your eyes and pray in the Holy Ghost again for a moment. I don't know why I have a little for us to do. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Hallelujah. Now, look up. Now, one major way God leads us is actually through, first of all, we see what we call the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's just be very fast. You know, manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is actually the word of wisdom. I have explained to you the gifts of the Spirit as what we call word of wisdom. And word of wisdom is a gift where you hear from God concerning a matter. Concerning word of wisdom actually is the gift that communicates the future to you. Just like I'm, for instance, if I'm praying here now, let me know if, whether I can remember. If I'm praying here now, and I look at someone and say, hey, your name is Priscilla. What gift is this? Huh? Word of knowledge, right? Because I just revealed a fact to her. But if I tell Priscilla, by this time tomorrow, this and that will happen, what gift is that? Word of wisdom. And so in word of wisdom, we get to, one way God leads us is that he can talk to us. And that's why you must train yourself to learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. That's why when we are here and we say things like, we are holding a Holy Ghost meeting, hold your neighbor, give your neighbor a word, practice those things. Because sometimes you will need it even for your own life. I get to the point. Word of wisdom is one major way that God leads us. We get to hear from God concerning our future, concerning our life and all that. It's word of wisdom. But then, what I'm dealing with this morning is not the gifts. We have a lot of teachings on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to focus on something. The easiest and surest way to recognize the leading of the Spirit is actually in your inward witness, right? We call it the inward witness. Actually, you will not find the word inward witness in the Bible. It's actually a coinage of Brother Hagin. But I'm just going to use this to refer to your spirit man. I get the point. There is an inward witness. There's an inward witness. There is a witness in your heart. That is how God leads us. I want everybody to listen to me with your physical, spiritual, and your mental ear. All the ear, let it open this morning. You get the point? Because there's an inward witness. That inward witness, listen carefully, is not a voice. When you hear a voice that says, stand up and move, that's word of wisdom. That's not inward witness. That's God speaking to you. But at every point in time, you will not sit down and say, okay, Father, now speak to me. No. But there is a witness in your heart. You get the point? That's an ill, and what I want to show you is how to recognize, how to pick that inward witness. How to pick that witness in your heart. That is an inward witness. It's not a voice. It's not even a vision. A vision is simply, when you say a vision, what kind of spirit is that? Huh? The sending of spirits, right? And when you see a vision, it can either bring about two things, right? It can either bring about a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. What I'm saying is not difficult. What I'm saying is, if you see a vision, now maybe you see a dream, that dream will either tell you something that will happen in the future or something that is happening now, something that has happened. Is that correct? Okay, now, so that's not the inward witness. The inward witness, actually, the way I'll define it, it's a reaction from your spirit. It's not a voice. It's a reaction. It's a way your spirit reacts and responds to things. In fact, the way I put it in my notes, I said, the inward witness does not reveal facts. It responds to what it is exposed to. Sometimes it can be a push in your spirit, man. Sometimes it can be a burden. It can be a pressing. Sometimes it can just be a feeling. But you know that this feeling is not actually your mind. It's there in your spirit. That's what I'm talking about. It's a reaction from your spirit. I'll explain it better. Don't worry, you get it. It's a reaction from your spirit. Let me give an example. Acts 17 verse 16. Let me show you. Acts 17 verse 16. Acts chapter 17 and verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. That's not a voice. He said his spirit was stirred in him. Why was the spirit stirred in him? He saw the whole city giving to what? So he saw something and his spirit responded to what he saw. So that steering was not in his mind. Just follow what I'm saying. It's not that he saw it and got out. No. There was a steering. He said his spirit was steered. So it was not like Paul saw it and had a voice and the voice said, Paul, my son, stand up and preach. No. Get the point? He saw it and his spirit responded to it. And that response, we call it a steering. His spirit was steered within him. Another example is, look at that same Acts chapter 20. Let me show you. Chapter 20 and verse 22. He said, are you there? Acts 20, 22. He said, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. He said, I am bound. Who has another translation? Read that verse 22, 22 for me. Done what? Drawn near what? Resistibly. So there was something there was something pushing him from the spirit. You get the point? It's not like the spirit was saying, my son, go. No. But there was a push from his spirit, man. He said, I'm being drawn by the spirit. I am bound by the spirit. I am convicted by the spirit. So there was a push. You get the point? Sometimes we call it, have you ever had a burden? Have you ever had that kind of thing? A strange burden. It's a reaction. It's a response. That is how to pick the leading of the spirit. I'm going to show you something. So, in your inward witness, that's where the leading is. So, your spirit reacts to things happening, and from that reaction, you can pick what God wants you to do part time. Don't bring it down a little. Now, don't worry, I'm going to explain this better. Your spirit reacts, things happen, your spirit responds to it, and from that response, you can pick what it is per time. Let me show you another example. Acts 16, this one is clearer. Acts 16, verse 6. Because some people, they want to be led by God by hearing an audible voice at all times. They want, you know, somebody told me, he said, sir, the way I want God to be leading me, I want, if I step out, he will save my son. Turn. I want to be hearing him like that. And I say, if you start hearing God like that, you will run mad. Imagine at every point in your life, there is somebody talking in your ear. Not like in your heart, in your ear. Shouting in your ear. Turn! There, that hacker! Step out! Run! Somebody's coming! Look at that guy. Look at that girl. Turn back. Imagine that you'll be a mad person. You get the point? That's not how God is. Bad time. You get the point? Somebody say, no, how I want God to believe me? Let him be showing me at all times. Just, I want to be seen. You have accidents one day. Whether you be driving and you be seeing something else in the spirit. Maybe you are actually driving and you are seeing a river. You think you are swimming. You know? No, that's why the witness, the leading of the spirit is in your spirit, man. You get the point? It's not actually that God begins to echo your ear at all times saying, oh yeah, move. Oh yeah, stop. No. Actually, your spirit begins to react to things. And from those reactions, you can get what God wants you to do. Please listen to me this morning. Look at Acts 16 verse 6. Let me show you. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and we are forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Spurgeon said they were forbidden. So the Holy Ghost forbade them. It wasn't that the Holy Ghost announced right from Paul, if you preach here, I'm going to kill you. But actually, Paul got there, wanted to preach, and the response from his spirit man, he got to know that he was forbidden for preaching here. Do you know what I'm talking about? So the forbidding was in his spirit. It wasn't that God would have sit down. If I let me even show you, there's a story I'm going to show you later. I don't know how we'll get to that today. We saw it earlier. Agabus stood up. Listen to this now. Agabus, because I've seen when I'm talking about visions and dreams. Agabus stood up and prophesied that the man that owns this clock, if he enters Jerusalem, they will kill him. No, they will bind him rather. Imagine we are here. I was giving an example. Imagine we are here now praying. We are praying, and then maybe Brochisum just stands up, and then by the Spirit he says, Sister Leticia, I saw in the Spirit that you are planning to go to Abeokuta. And maybe Leticia did not tell anybody he was going to Abeokuta. Leticia will say, yes, yes. And he said, well, I see that when you get to Abeokuta, some gang of people will beat you up. Now, what do you think is the advice we should give Leticia? They start some, but don't get anywhere. But you see, Paul heard that, and Paul told them, don't worry, I know before. He still went to Jerusalem. And I'll show you why. Because when you get a word, even a word from God, you check whatever from your inward witness. I get the point. It's the reaction of your spirit man to it that will determine what you do per time. So Bible said they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Okay, look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So they wanted to go, and that's the inward witness reacted again. Don't go. I don't get the point. So we were talking about having a little of the Spirit by time. We're not talking about a situation where God is echoing into your ear. Hey, don't go. Don't move. Even I normally tell my friends, I say, most times when God speaks to I've heard God from my physical ear before. I have. Not once, not twice. But most times when God speaks to me through my physical ear, I've ignored the leading within. Do you understand now? Most times. Because when he finally speaks, who has ever heard God through his physical ear, like physical ear? Most times when you hear it, you will find out that thing you heard from God has been in your spirit man all this while. You get the point? But because you ignored it, you will now talk like that. The leading of God is here within you. You get the point? It's here. And I told you guys a story of when I was praying to hear from God. I wanted God to tell me what he was going to use me to do in this life. So I prayed and I told God, it's a very funny story, but it actually happened. I told God I wanted to speak to me. I don't want you to speak to me through the Bible or through it. I wanted to speak, echo into my ear. I want to hear it. And I began to pray. You know, don't pray such prayers. If you do, you not be long, you expose yourself to demons. I mean what I'm saying. I will say come to that. As I was praying, God speak, that's how I want to hear. Is it your hearing? This is how I want to hear. So the first day I prayed, nothing happened. So one of those, I now prayed. I lay down on the bed. I say, Father, speak. I laid down, faced up, and I slept off. And so the next day I said, God, you think I'm joking, right? I'm going to enter under this bed. If you don't speak to me, I'm not coming out. And I entered under the bed. Now some of you are born into grace. You don't want to suffer to hear from God. I entered under the bed. I said, God, speak. I stayed there. After some time, I heard somebody shouting, come and carry your food, because I slept off till night. They were not sharing night food. And I got up. I said, God, I'm good. You know, that's why, you know the book God's General? Very good book. But you cannot read God's General and follow the experiences found in God's General. You will be confused. You get what I said? You can follow the acts, the things that happened there, the things that the men of God did. It can motivate your heart. But to begin to say, because that's one of some of those I read. I had some of them went, but it was with Abraham that carried his bag and left his house and told God, if you don't speak to me, I'm not coming back. I know, and God spoke to him along the line. Well, I'm not saying you should not do that, but that's foolishness. Because the God you are looking for wherever is right in your inside. I know what I'm talking about. That's foolishness. He didn't have God level of his knowledge then. So then I now entered into the wardrobe. That was my last escapade. I said, Father, I'm going to be in this wardrobe. I'm not going to come out until you say something to me. And if you don't say it, I'm not coming out. Think I'm joking. As I shut the wardrobe. I've never been inside wardrobe before. I was sweating. I said, Lord, I'm still waiting. I waited and waited and I came out. Nothing happened. Did I finally eat? But no, throughout all those prayer times, right there in my spirit, I knew what to do. I knew what it was. But I wanted God to talk this way. Did I finally hear from God? Or deeply like that? That was November 17, 2006. And what did he say? Nothing different from what I had in my spirit, man. Nothing different. Just that he know now I was a small boy, a small believer, upcoming believer. He just assured me, I said, hey. I can't forget it. I was hearing, was just talking into my ear. What did he say? Guess what he said? You know, I think it's something strange. He said, I will use you in this generation. No matter, I've always known. You get the point. The leading of God is not far. It's not on the mountain. It's there. There is a reaction that comes from your inward witness whenever any situation arises. That is the leading. And I'll show you how to pick it. Look, let's continue with that Acts 16 that we're reading. Okay, and they, verse 8 now. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision, this is what I wanted to focus on. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over to into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering. That's what I want to say. Gathering that the Lord has called us for to go to preach the gospel to them. So they say, he said, gathering. That's what I want to say. So they drew a conclusion from the vision. And where did they draw that conclusion from? That's what I'm talking about dreams now. They drew that conclusion from, not because of the vision per se, it's from their inward witness. Now that brings you to dreams. Look up. People ask me, can God lead me through dreams? Well, the answer is you can actually see dreams. But how do I interpret dreams? And that's why we read a lot of demonic, uninformed, misinformed, satanic, ignorant books, and we call them dreams and interpretation. How many of you have such books? If you lie now, you must start and die. And we have all those books. They said if you see apple in your dream, what does it mean? Huh? Wedding. That's why you know. Who else knows another thing about apple? Baby boy. Another revelation about apple. Those things are nonsense. When Paul saw that vision, you know, that vision, okay, but when Bible talks about a vision, there are three kinds of visions. You get the point? It could have been anyone that Paul saw. There is one called an open vision. Open vision is where you begin to see things with your physical eyes. In fact, sometimes when I have such experience, I just see it and I'm tempted to tap my neighbor and say, did you see that? You get the point? You see it physically. There is what we call a spiritual vision. That's where you see things with the eyes of your spirit. That what happens to all of us. Just that we ignore it. Have you ever been praying and you see something? Does that happen to you? Uh-huh. Just that you now think it's your mind. It's not your mind. Do you get the point? It's not your mind. Then there is a third kind of vision. That kind of vision is called trance. A trance is where your senses are suspended and you are seeing into the spirit. An example of a trance, dreams. You are sleeping. Who has ever had this kind of experience where you say things like, it's not like I was sleeping, it's not like I was awake. That happened to you. It's a trance. It is dream. It can be a dream, it can be a trance and all that. Now it can be any of them that Paul saw. So when Paul got up, Paul did not start saying, what does man mean in dream? Maybe he has read one book, man means this. Paul did not say, what does Macedonia mean in dreams? No. As I have told you, when you see yourself eating in the dream, that means you are possessed. That's a big lie. I will still prove to you from the Bible that that's a lie. Are you getting me? There are two experiences in the Bible where people had visions about food. In the Bible, the first of them was Elijah. He had the vision, he ate. The angel brought the food again and said, eat again, for the journey is too far. The second experience is as for Apostle Peter. They brought food to him, he refused to eat it, and God was angry. He said, what God has made clean? Why are you calling it unclean? You should have eaten the food. So forget when you think you see a dream where you are eating. Let me tell you, if you see a dream where you ate in the dream, when you wake up, drink water. So the food will digest well. Did you hear what I said? It's an instruction. Don't disobey it. Amen. Now I've warned all the people that I used to bring food in my dreams. Make sure you don't bring beans or anything I don't like. I've warned them in my dream. Make sure you bring chicken. You understand? You have to instruct your dream. Tell them what to bring for you. Hallelujah. But this is how to interpret. Notice, that say he saw a vision and they woke up gathering. And so when I see a dream, how do I know the interpretation to the dream? Stop checking apple means this, goat means that. No. Refer to your inward witness. Let me tell you why. Listen to this. Don't miss what I'm going to say. I explained what I'm talking about visions. In the book of 1 Kings, listen, Elijah saw a vision. Bible said he saw the wind, but God was not in the wind. You remember? He saw a fire, but God was not in the fire. He saw this and that, but God was not there. So Elijah saw a fire, but God was not in the fire. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles like what? Tongues of fire. Is that correct? So in Elijah's vision, fire meant God is not here. In the apostles' vision, the fire they had meant the Holy Ghost. Do you get what I explain now? So you cannot use a particular you cannot say a particular object means this particular thing in a dream. Do you get what I explain to you now? You don't go by object. What does rat mean? What does snake mean? What does dog mean? Can you wake up? Stop that. And that's why you get into error. That's why even when God wants to lead you through dreams, because of the pictures you've created for yourself in your mind, you miss the leading of the Spirit. I told you guys this story. I don't know. I heard it from the man of God. I just tell you the way he told the story. I will not add to it. I will not remove. He said he was planning to go for a meeting. And he was praying. And in the night, he saw a girl coming to seduce him. That's in a dream. You get the point? The girl came, and first he said in the dream, he was a strong one. Let me not get the end of the story, but he woke up, Shah. And then when he woke up, you know the next prayer point. He began to pray. Every spirit of seduction, you know, and he prayed. And then when he was praying, he said the Holy Ghost told him something. He said the Holy Ghost told him, what I actually showed you in your dream is actually what was happening to some ministers in that church you are about to go and visit. You get the point? I wanted that he went and he saw the whole situation. But because his mind has been trained that once you see yourself and the girl, if I let me tell you, most times when you see yourself and the girl in a dream doing whatever, check number one, the movies you watch. Amen? Number one, what movie did you watch? Number two, are you missing anybody at that moment? Then number three, renew your mind with the word of God. Stop thinking about sex so that you stop dreaming about sex. Did you hear what I said? Stop thinking about sex. If you keep thinking about sex, you will dream about sex. In fact, I can tell you, if you want to dream about anything this night, I can tell you how to forge your dream, cause your dream to have to. I'll tell you what to dream about this night. That's why when you want to sleep and you fill your heart with the word of God, there's some kind of dreams you cannot see. Let me ask you, have you ever been playing a message and slept off? Has they seen the program in your dream? Aha, it's you forming the dream. But then think, that's why when you fill your heart with sex, you watch pornography, you sleep, you see it, and I say, it's not the demon. Just leave the dream, it has no meaning. In fact, the meaning is stop watching all those nonsense you are watching. I learned something. And so, notice something. Paul said when he saw it, he said, we went to Macedonia gathering, concluding that God has sent us there. So they drew a conclusion from the spirit man. That's why when Peter saw that vision in Acts chapter 10, what did Peter do? Acts 10 verse 19. The Bible said, while Peter thought on the vision, that's what I want to show you. Open Acts 10 verse 19. Peter did not get up and start thinking and then reach that for his dreams and interpretation book. No. Acts 10 verse 19. The Bible said, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Seek thee. So he got the interpretation of that vision by thinking on it. That's why I tell people, when you wake up from a dream, don't just start concluding. What to know? Stay there. As you are going over it in your mind, meditating on it, be muttering the Holy Ghost. The answer is your word with us, not in the dream. Do you get the point? If I let me tell you, sometimes when you see a dream, I don't, God said I should draw this interpretation a little. When you see a dream, the answer, the meaning of the dream is not in the many things that happen in the dream. The meaning is just maybe, just, it can just be a statement. That's why somebody asked me, sir, I always dream but I forget it. Can I tell you what to do? When you dream and you forget the dream, pray to get the message of the dream. It's in your spirit, man. The message that comes with the dream is more important than the dream. Do you know what I'm talking about now? The Bible tells us in Zechariah, listen, the Bible tells us in Zechariah, this is how to respond to a dream or to a vision. You don't see a vision because God wants to lead you through a dream and you just think it should mean this and it should not mean all those things. The answer is there. In Zechariah chapter 1, Zechariah saw, Bible said he saw four carpenters and he asked the Lord, who are these people? He saw four horns and he asked the Lord, what are these? So you think on the vision, the answer is there. The answer is not in anything you've read in any book. Are you getting me? So when you see a dream or you see a vision, check it with your inward witness. The answer is there. Get the point? Sometimes, you know, I was checking something. Have you ever read that Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Have you ever read of it? The one that Daniel interpreted. If I had left that dream for you, there is no way you can interpret it. If Daniel's interpretation had no connection with the dream, just go and check what I said. I was trying to interpret, he had no correlation with the dream at all. But that was the meaning. So the meaning of dreams is not found in, just like when Pharaoh saw a dream, seven fat cows in another place, and seven slim ones. Who would have known that those cows represent ye? Do you get what I'm talking about? So you don't wake up and say, I'm going to get my dream interpretation book. What is wrong with you? If you have that kind of book in your house, burn it. Are you getting me? Burn it. And if you are the kind of person that doesn't use, you know, tissue paper to do ministry, use that book for tissue for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the answer, discuss such books. Don't expose your mind to all those things. I'm telling you the truth. Because that they will even affect the leading of God in your heart. I've seen dreams. When we're about to go to some villages for me, I go for missions a lot. Sometimes when we are planning, and I began to see in the spirit, I saw masquerades. Plenty masquerades in my dream. And I see a lot of things with it. When I woke up, you think, you know, some of you, when you see it, and I said, they want to initiate me. Into a tune, Suzo. Who told you all those things? I didn't cross my mind. I already knew. And then I got up, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. If I did what I got up, I just got bam. It's because of this community. Okay? There's a masquerade court where everybody, whatever is initiated into. You will meet many of them, you will deliver some of them from such. I just saw it. But I know if you see masquerade in your dream, I know what is going to happen. You call me on phone, I promise you my number will not go through. I will not even pick. You know now. Says that this dream I saw. Stop mixing those things up in your mind. The answer, so Peter saw the dream, he got up, he thought on the vision. He meditated, he kept his mind on it. Because the answer to a vision is not, it was most times it's not in the vision itself, it's in your spirit man. Who is learning something this morning? It's your spirit man. That's where the answer is. The answer is your spirit man is not any other place. And so, notice something, please. When we talk about the inward witness, this inward witness is beyond. What I mean is a reaction. It's not a feeling. I explained that last week. It's not I'm scared. No. I did not say it's a reaction of your mind. It's not your mind. It's not your body. It's not even fear. Sometimes you can be scared. Yet God wants you to do it. Do you understand? Sometimes you can be scared of going to Enugu. Yet God wants you to go to Enugu. How will you know you're in world witness? Ignore the fear. The fear is not the answer. It's your spirit man. I'll show you how to clearly separate your inward witness from your mind. I'll show you shortly. It's not just about, people normally say, check for peace. Yes, there is a place for peace in the valley, but I'll come to that today. But if I get there, just know, like I said last week, it's not any kind of peace. Just like people come to me and are looking for God, so I want to know what to do, I'm in a relationship, I want to know, should I continue? Can I tell you something? If you really love that person, you will feel peace. Whether it's God's will or not. How many of you know that? So you cannot use that peace to judge. And like I said last week, people normally say, don't judge divine leading by anxiety or nervousness. He said, I wanted to do it, but I was just anxious. I was just scared. I was just worried. So I found that it's not always true. It's not always true. Because sometimes, in fact, whenever you want to start a new project, you'll be scared. I know what I'm talking about. So you cannot use that fear to know. So how do I separate? So, I'm going to show you, how do you train your mind to recognize the inward witness? It's very simple. Renew your mind. Romans 12 verse 2. We saw it last week. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, if I want to know the good and perfect will of God, I have to remember, and I'll show you two things. You renew your mind with the word of God. When you fill your heart with the word, it will be very easy for you, okay, to recognize the leading of the Spirit. Second thing is, pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. It's part of renewing your mind. Fill your mind with the word, pray in the Spirit a lot. When you pray in the Spirit a lot, I'm trying to rush because I want us to pray this morning. When you pray in the Spirit a lot, you are training your heart to be able to pick what is your, because the question people normally ask me is, how do I know that it's my spirit now and it's not my mind? Do you have such questions? Sometimes it's like it's my mind, sometimes it's like my spirit. When you pray the Holy Ghost a lot, you will know. Let me give an example. I shared this story last week, so let me complete it. I've told it a lot. I share it to help some of you. But I wanted to start pastoring DG and all that. I was very scared. You know the whole fear of, are you sure you're in the will of God? And one of the people on earth that I really care about God's will a lot. I'm telling you, I'm one of those I care about. If I they go to a time, it drove me to start saying, asking God, Father, what clothes should I wear? It got to that point. I care about what God wants me to do. So I was really praying. How am I sure? But I noticed something. I was very scared. I was very disturbed in my heart. But I noticed something. Whenever I spend a lot of time praying in the Holy Ghost, I'll begin to get ideas and begin to see the thing as possible. But whenever I stay away for a very long time from praying, the whole fears and worries come back. Do you know what I say now? So immediately I knew what it was. When you expose your mind to praying in the Holy Ghost a lot, you are training your mind. It will be very easy for you to know what. That's why sometimes when some of you come to me and say, I want to decide on this, I'll just say, go and pray. I don't know if you don't even pray about the situation. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost for a very long time, suddenly you will just know in your heart what it is. That is when you can now use peace to choose. Do you get what I said now? Did you get what I said now? You cannot just start using peace. I just want to know if I'm feeling peaceful. No. You can only use peace to choose to discover divine leading when you have prayed in the Holy Ghost, when you filled your heart with the word and the supernatural and the spirit. Okay? You will easily know that, okay, this is it or this is it. But when you are walking fully in the flesh, Your emotions will betray you. Let me ask you a question. Who has ever, I know you are not saved, but who has ever been in love here with someone? Bring down your hand. You have been in love with someone, and then in the course of the whatever, you really love this person, but then you notice that whenever you come to church or whenever you spend time praying, you begin to feel uneasy about the person. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Normally, you are comfortable with, you love the person, everything is perfect. Whenever you spend time praying, you begin to feel uneasy about the person. Have you ever had that kind of experience? That thing is your inward witness responding. He's saying no. You get what I said? There's no the answer to it. Your inward witness is saying no. Break up your fallow ground. But you got to understand. So that's one easy way. When you spend a lot of time praying in your spirit, your inward witness will react to something. Some other times you find out that when you pray the Holy Ghost a lot, somehow, even in areas where naturally you are scared, you begin to see light in those areas. You notice your inward witness is responding to that thing. Who is sending something this morning? Oh, I'm going to use another one. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Let me show you. So before you begin to say, I'm using peace, do I feel peace or do I not feel peace? You must have given yourself to prayer. And that's why you must make a practice of praying in the Holy Ghost. Not just when you need divine leading. Because when you pray the Holy Ghost a lot, if you get to a time, you don't even need to pray to know that this is not God's will. Because when you pray the Holy Ghost a lot, once it happens, bam, you just speak it. That is not it. Look at Philippians 4. Because that's where people teach peace from. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So before you can begin to check, am I feeling peace or not? You must have prayed. Giving yourself to prayer, you can now know, okay, that this is the peace of God. And notice what Paul said about that peace of God. He said, it passeth all understanding. That's why sometimes, have you ever felt peaceful over something in your spirit, whereas naturally you are not happy about it? So that peace, you don't understand why I should be peaceful about this thing. But I just peace there. That's why you do not treat your spiritual life you don't do hit and run spiritual life. Have a consistent prayer life, a consistent walk with God. At every point in time, that peace will show up. And when you have prayed and spent time praying and you still cannot find that peace, can I advise you, slow down. When you have prayed and you're still saying, because once you give yourself to prayer, sometimes I'm not even talking about praying about the issue. Just give yourself to prayer. You know, I said next week, we're going to be teaching on relationship and marriage and all that. There was this girl, you know, some time ago, hallelujah, glory to God, that I was very much in love with this girl. And don't think that this girl was not saved. She was very saved. And don't think she does not pray in tongues. She prays in tongues. And don't think that she was not growing spiritually. I was even mentoring her. You get the point? Now, I love that. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. And then, angel. Hallelujah. But I noticed something. There was this, in fact, even from the day I got into that relationship, from the day, because actually that relationship, you know, is a very long story. You didn't tell, oh my God. You want to hear the story? So what did happen? This girl, forget, I'm not that she liked me, Sha. You know, when you are handsome as a pastor, a lot of things fall in place. So the girl, she we're just actually started by praying together. To be sincere, we're praying and fasting together. Glory to God. But then in the process, look at the kid. In the process again, touch this story next week. I'll teach you on something on relationship. She liked me very well. I like that too, but I've learned not to rush things. You know what I'm telling you? The problem with most guys especially, is that we are very impatient when it comes to relationship. You meet a girl today, you want to ask her out today, you want her to give you an answer today. Are you mad? That's the problem. Some of us, you see the girl on the road, you're already following her. I love you, but I'm taking you to my mother right away. So I've learned to be patient. So I was still trying to follow my patience to calm myself and to understand what I was feeling, whether it was infatuation or abi. And the girl now told me one day, say, I don't care how you're going to react to what I'm going to say, but I'm in love with you. And I lost it. You know that point when you are chiked? Yes, when I did try, yeah. And I just stood there. You know, she said, and look at the point, because that's why I said, I'll see come back next week. She said, I'm in love with you. She didn't say, she wrote it on her phone and gave me. I said, wow. And from that point, she started guilt tripping me. See the guilt tripping. If I don't call her for a day, she'll say, well, I know you will not call me now. After all, you are the one supposed to ask me out, but I've asked you out already now. You will no longer see me. I will not say, no. It's not like that. It's not like that. She said, and I will not start calling. And the thing continued. At that point, get the point. I'm not trying to blame it on the girl. I like the girl. You get the point very well. But why I was stalling was there was red light in my spirit, man. Physically, I like that. Physically, you know, glory to God. But then right there, there was a red light. There was something saying, anytime even without praying, I just know it was there. And I could not pick what it was. You know, sometimes when God leads us, we want God to give us a reason. So why shouldn't I marry this guy now? There was no reason. I just knew there was red light there. No, God is funny. But he wants you to trust him. Are you getting the point? Sometimes he will give you a reason. Sometimes just trust him. You will see the reason later. I've seen the reason now. I'm even wondering what I liked in that guy that time. But then I ignored that leading. I disobeyed that leading. I said the thing. From that day, because the date was even funny. He said, I know you don't want to ask me out now because Nami fuck up now. I first spoke to you. But I think there's nothing bad in expressing your heart. And now said, no, it's not like that. No, now. I like you. Like, I really do. But I said, but what? I'm not qualified to be your girlfriend. I said, no. It's not like that. You can't try that with me now. I'm stronger. I will just give you the answer straightforward. Yes, you are not qualified to be my girlfriend. But look at the point. From that time, I knew I was already in error. And so anytime there was even a time I went for a retreat. I prayed. It wasn't about the relationship. I was just praying. I go for all these 3 days retreat. I knew. And God even had to take it a step forward and started showing me some things in the spirit about her. But you know, I will still come to obedience when I'll be closing. You must come to a point in your spiritual life where you choose to obey God and follow his leading. I get the point. It's one of the toughest things to do, especially when your emotions are involved. You get the point? You know, I told you guys, obedience is not, I was planning to go to FSP, and then you now say, go to FSP. I said, I'm going already. Obedience is, I was never planning to come to FSP today. And you just called me and said, where are you? He said, sir, I'm on my way to Abakiliki. And I said, turn your back and go to FSP. Obedience is when you turn. You must be ready to obey God to that level. Are you getting me? That is it. So you pray. So what I told you that story is, anytime I spend time to pray, when I am with this girl, okay, everything is perfect. She's good. She was even growing, getting better. But I knew the red light was there. And I knew she had that red light too because she was a believer. You get the point? So how I ended the relationship is a story for next week Sunday. Hallelujah. But the point remains that you must you must come to a point where you know. So before you begin to choose peace or to say, I'm checking, is there peace in my heart? Learn to be a person giving to prayer, giving to the word. Fill your heart. You cannot say, now that's what happens to most girls too. You don't pray. You don't give yourself to hearing from God or doing anything. and that's for after 7 years, and then suddenly a husband comes, you want to know, you suddenly want to hear from God. A man you've not heard from for the past 7 years, you now want to hear from him today because you want to marry. And you know, both you and your office, I just bring 5 pictures to you. Sir, 5 of them. Somebody brought 3 pictures to me, I said, none of them. I said, none of them is the will of God. Say, sir, I said, no, not even one. She said, what do you, she said, sir, what do? I say, go and follow the leading of God. I said, bring your phone. I gave her messages. Go and listen and grow your spiritual life. Your following relationship. Hallelujah. Friends, you must, you know, something about praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost a lot, and what I'm talking about is not good. When people say, pray, you know, if you are very close to me, once you are confused about anything, I will say, go and pray. Most times it's not praying to say, Father, speak to me. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are clearing your mind. Do you understand that? You are clearing your mind. You can easily pick up those signals. So that leading of the Spirit is there in your heart. It's not strange. It's not away. It's not far away. It's there. You want to know the course to study. Or there are 2 courses before you, because this normally happens when we are confused about 2 different things. I have this and I have this. I don't know the one to pick. Just spend time praying the Holy Ghost. Spend time praying the Holy Ghost. Somehow the answer is there. I get on the point. The answer is there. I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's why you pray the Holy Ghost a lot. You know, sometimes I'll be walking, okay, along the road sometimes. And because I'm a person giving praying the Holy Ghost a lot, and sometimes God can even lead me to, in small, small details like, don't board that bus, board that bus. So I've ever had that kind of pleading. Don't board that bus. And sometimes it's not because an accident will happen. You know, sometimes you board the other bus expecting that accident will happen in the other one. Yes, nothing happened. It's not accident sometimes. You get the point? You know, I told somebody, the thing about following God's leading is that when you follow it, you don't know what would have happened if you did not follow it. You get the point? It might not have been maybe not an accident. Maybe you would have just boarded the other bus, and riding that bus, there will be a very hot argument. Sometimes, somebody will break your head. Amen. Glory. Some other times, most times when God leads me like that, whenever God leads, most times, I always know that there is somebody he wants to minister to in this next bus. That's most times. Because most times, even when people say, Philip disappeared, every disappearing that Philip disappeared was to go and minister to somebody. The opposite of that. He was translocated in fact, Mr. Tetopia, you know, from that day, from that place, they moved him again to another place to preach the word in Aslo to soldiers like that. So most times the leading is, don't enter that bus. I've ministered to a lot of people like that. In fact, there is someone now in our church now, she's even a pastor in the church. The time minister, I saw her, that was the same way. I was just going at night, go say, no, don't enter that bus, enter this other bus. And right there in the bus I entered and I saw, it was some years back, and I preached the gospel to her. And from there, she's a pastor with us today. I get the point. So you follow such leaders in your heart. So be a person giving to pray in the Holy Ghost. You will be able to pick those things are there. So it's not about hearing a voice or hearing God echoing to your ear. When you allow your heart to be led by the Spirit, you will see clearly what you must do. And can I tell you the truth? The reward for following the leading of the Spirit is that you follow the leading of the Spirit. Most of people say, sir, what if I don't follow, what will happen? Nothing. I'm not even one of people that will tell you that if God tells you to marry this guy, God cannot tell you, okay, I'll come down next week. I'm not even one of people that will tell you, if God tells you not to marry this guy, and you go ahead and marry him, that your marriage will crash. It's not always true, hope you know. You know what I said? If some of our parents got married as unbelievers, and their marriages did well, you get the point? The reward is not that if you don't follow now, your marriage will crash. Or if you don't follow this one. No. The reward is that when you follow God's leading, you follow God's leading. You get the point? The reward of obedience is that you obeyed. Stop thinking of what will now happen if I now obey. How many cars do I now get? They say, so, let me tell you something. When God tells you not to go into this business, there's every possibility that if you disobey and go into that business, you will still succeed. It's not about source of failure. I don't get the point. The reward should be, I want to obey God. Get the point? I want to follow the leader of the Spirit because he knows better. He does know better. You know, you might disobey the leading of the Spirit, and then you get married to whoever God wants you to get married to. And your marriage will do well. You even have fine children. But guess what? You don't know what would have happened if you had obeyed. You get the point? You would have been one of the strongest ministers that God will use all over the world. But you know, your marriage can stop you. Hope you know. You don't know? It's can. So, when you are about to make it, you know, can I think you put it this way? He says sometimes when you bring a contract, that's why the second lesson I'm going to say today is, don't respond to pressure. Anytime somebody or anything starts putting you under pressure, don't make any decision then. Go and pray. Because that is that when you bring all these contracts for him to sign, and he will look at it, the only thing he will tell you is, don't worry, we'll talk about it tomorrow. You get the point? Talk about it tomorrow is just keep it. He will just keep it somewhere and just be praying. Somehow he will just know, okay, sign it or don't sign it. Most times when you are under pressure, you are going to make the wrong choices. Ask Esau. Don't let anything bring you under pressure. Pressure, hunger is what is that people under pressure. Yes. You get the point? Don't respond to such pressures. Once you're under that kind of pressure, spend a little more time and pray. Spend a little more time and pray. I said again, spend a little more time and pray. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. Spend a little more time and pray. Don't respond to pressure. When you are pressured, pray. Obedience, okay, is key in the valley. Make up your mind to follow the leading of the Spirit. And can I say this to you? In learning to obey in small matters, you will learn to follow in bigger things. Let me say it again. In learning to follow the leading of the Spirit over small issues, you will learn to follow that leading in smaller, in bigger issues. If you cannot obey as simple as this and that, is it now when God says, I'm sending you to Afghanistan for mission, that you will obey? And let me get a point. Pick those leaders in your heart. So at every point in time, know, be assured that there's a leading of God in your heart. And so what you have to do is follow that leading. And when I'm confused, I'll spend some time just praying the Holy Ghost, and you will see the answer there. And so some of you are at the crossroads of life. You don't know what to do. You don't know whether to do this or not do that. You don't know whether to step in here or step in there. Just right there in your heart, when you spend time praying, you will just find that peace. You'll find that response from your inward witness. Or you'll find that repulsion. Remember the spirits we saw. Bible said they were forbidding of the spirits. Sometimes you find that forbidding there. You find that, don't do it. It may not be a voice, but your spirit will respond to something. Please get what I'm talking about this morning. You will respond. And right now, as I'm talking, there are about 5 of you. As I'm talking, right there in your spirit, man, there are decisions you've been trying to make. Your spirit is responding to them already. You already know what to do. I'm not saying that when you leave this place, you will feel so comfortable about the things your spirit told you to do. It's not about, just follow that leading of the spirit. It's your own witness. I get to the point. Follow it. You might not feel as comfortable as you should with them, but just follow that leading. The answer is not far. And so the answers to your divine leading is not any other place. It's in you. It's your spirit, man. It's your spirit, man. And decide to obey. That's one word God said I should close with. Make up your mind, I'm going to obey the leading of the Spirit. Decide. Make up your mind, I'm going to obey the leading. I'm going to follow the leading of the Spirit. You know, I normally ask my friends that come around me. There are some tough issues they will bring around me. I will normally ask them, do you want to obey God? You know, it's normal. People can say yes. But it's a very serious question. And like I said about relationship, you don't know that you don't want to obey God until your emotions are involved. You get the point? Has God ever led you against your will? Has it ever happened to anybody? No, I mean, led you against what you want to do. Has it ever happened to you? You want to do this. I know when you obey God, there is joy in obeying God. Hope you know. There is joy, there is fulfillment in knowing that, okay, finally, I didn't disobey. And so there's the leading of God in your heart. Follow it. You can never be wrong following the leading of the Spirit. Whether it comes as an audible voice, whether it comes as what is it called? As word of wisdom, or it just comes as a leading in your heart, just a reaction from my inward witness. Follow it. Paul entered a city. His heart was tearing within him. What did he do? He followed that. He began to preach to the city immediately. They got to another city. He felt a forbidding in his heart to do something. What did he do? He did it immediately. You get the point? When they finished praying, they gathered that God wanted to go to Macedonia. They stood up and they went to Macedonia immediately. Follow that leading in your heart. You can never be wrong following it. I learned something this morning. That leading is there. That leading is there. That leading is there. You can never be wrong following it. That leading is there in your heart. You can never be wrong following that leading. It's there. There's a lot of options in your heart are not there anymore. Just spend time praying. You know, some say, sir, why am I sure it's not my thoughts? No. When it's your thoughts, you know. When you pray the Holy Ghost, you know exactly what to do. I mean, that peace you feel when you pray a lot in tongues, follow it. That's where the answer is. Say with me, sir, I know what to do. Because I want to hear this. Say, I know what to do. Say, I have the leading of God. Hallelujah. You have the leading of God. You're not a confused person. You are not confused people. Just as sometimes you are looking for the spectacular. You are looking for an audible voice. You are looking for an audible vision. You are looking for the spectacular, as it were. And most times, the looking for the spectacular, as Brother Hagin will say, you miss the supernatural. You get the point? You're looking for the spectacular, looking for vision, looking for a voice sounding, or you want Papa to walk up to you and say, listen to me, your name is this, your name is that, and it's no. Stop looking for all those things. If it happens, fine. But just follow those leads in your heart. Those directions that are there. Some of you, it is, what church am I going to join? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll find you know it. You know it. That's how I got to know, okay, you're going to pastor. I told you guys, in 2012, I had already seen that we'll come to a new, I told you that, right? But when the time came to plant platform of grace, anytime I think of coming to Enugu, I always felt that restraint. Whereas I had known that I would come to Enugu, but I always felt so I knew what it meant. What it meant is it's not time yet. So we stayed where we are. I don't make a point. Two times I made attempts to come to Enugu, I felt that restriction again. I said, okay, until the time came. You get the point? Until the time came. So follow that leading there. Once you feel the forbidding of the spirit, just let it. I get the point. Just let it. You can never be wrong following the leading of the spirit. There was one song, there is a song we used to sing when we were growing up. An Igbo song. You know that song? He that leads me will not let me stumble. And that is the truth. He won't. The question is, would you want to follow that leading? You get the point? Will you want to follow it? So next time, don't be a person that is given to your own thoughts. Don't be a person that just wants to do is my decision. I just want to do what I want to do. Be a person that wants to follow what God is saying. Part time. At every time. If there is a new business contract on your table to sign, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Are you getting me? There's a new decision to make, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Should I go for my master's now? Or should I do this and do that? Sometimes pray in the Holy Ghost. You will know exactly what to do. And sometimes you even know what to do. But that's what happens to many of us. You know what to do actually. But you are considering the natural. Once that leading is there, shut off every other consideration of the natural. Because sometimes you already have a leading in your heart. Go for your master's this year. But you are considering how much do I have? I can't think about it. They are considering who will train me. How will I get the money? Once that leading is there, shut off every other voice speaking to you and follow it. Follow it. If you don't know what to do when you're following it, just pray a little more. You will get further directions. I got something. You know what to do. I'm not a confused person. I'm not a confused. I know what to do. So don't be a believer living like an unbeliever. Don't be a believer living like you're not saved. Don't, when unbelievers are making the decisions from their mind and from their emotions, you too, the believer, will make your decisions that same way. I know that. I get to the point. Yes, God will not come and start announcing to you, you will marry Mr. This. But there is still a leading of God in marriage. You get the point? Don't just make decisions like the world. The world will say, just follow your heart. We don't follow our hearts except we have subjected our hearts to the leading of the Spirit. I didn't get the point. The world will say, just follow your heart. No. There are many things the world say that we don't do. The world will say, just be yourself. Don't be yourself. Because that yourself does not exist anymore. You have died. Be your new self. That is Christ. You know, when the believer says, I'm being myself, being yourself is walking in love. Being yourself is praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't follow what the world says. Don't follow the leadings of the world. Don't decide like the world decides. And so when I see the world crying, what should I do? Who should I meet? Calling this person, dude, don't be like that. Is there a place for seeking counsel? Yes. But even in seeking counsel, there is also, you know, the Bible says, in the multitude of counsel there is safety. Hope you know. But notice the Bible did not say, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Most times, in the multitude of counselors there is confusion. How many of you know this? You know it's true. Once plenty of people talk to you, they will say different things. So even in the leading of the Spirit, somehow you get to know. Sometimes the leading could be, I'm praying, that's why it can be anything. It can be I'm praying over a course to study. And what the leading will just be is, you just have a leading to go and talk to Mr. This. Follow that leading. I didn't even get the point. You're thinking of a business to embark on. The leading could be, go and meet this, follow that leading. Sometimes you're praying, Father, I want to work for you. What should I do? The leading could be, go to church and commit there. Follow that leading. When you now follow that leading, all that things will unfold gradually. So you may say, I know what to do. Get your feet wherever you are. Get your feet. There is a leading of God in our hearts. Just pray in the Spirit.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.